Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Alan. We thank you for this word that he's bringing us this morning from you. We thank you for his careful preparation. Just anoint this word this morning, Lord. Help us really not just to hear, but to listen to what's being said, to absorb what's being said, and take it into the depths of our being as he brings your word to us this morning. So, blessing, we pray, bless his efforts. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, we invite you here just to flow amongst us in your manifest presence. Hallelujah. This is the second in a series of talks, which was started by Ron last month. Thank you very much, Ron. It wasn't recorded, but he's got some great notes. And if you want to pick up on his notes, then I suggest you ask him for them. I've been reading them because it really helped me to get started on this. And Tom's going to do the talk in July, and Mark in September. We're having August off because it's holidays. Right, I'm going to ask you a question. When was the last time you fell in love? Do you mind if I move this screen back up?
All right, sorry.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to tell you the last time I fell in love. Don't worry. It's not a problem for me. It was last Sunday. And this is our grandson, Caleb. He's here this morning, I think. And I held him like that. He's only about 12 weeks old. He can look at me. He can see you now. He can look at your face. And he looked at my face. And he burst out laughing. Which is understandable. Excuse me. And I fell in love. And did you know, following on from what Ian's picture was and what the song was, did you know, our God falls in love with us every morning. Every morning, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Even before we do our hair and makeup, even before our first cup of coffee, he falls in love with us. He sings over us. Every day. Every day. So I was really encouraged when we had those words, the picture about God loving us and singing over us. Like a mother sings over her baby. And our Father loves us. He's totally besotted with us. And he has gifts for us. I want you to imagine. He says to you in the morning, good morning, my love. Good morning. I love you so much. And here's a special gift for you just for today. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him every day? He wants to give us that good gift of his Holy Spirit. Ron's amplified version that he used when he spoke said, all of us, this is Ephesians 5:8 in Ron's amplified version, all of us must allow ourselves to be continually filled with the Spirit. That's what Ron's amplified version says. Don't disagree with that at all. Every morning. Every morning. Here's a special gift for you today. And this, the baptism of the Spirit, it's essential for all believers. It's not an option. It's not a nice to have. It's completely essential. It's a precious gift to us, and it's essential for us to operate in God's power. Okay? Now, at his baptism, Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and then he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tempted, and then he came out of the wilderness, returning in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And he also told his disciples, hang about in Jerusalem after my ascension. They had to wait for 10 days until you are endued with power from on high. These were guys who previously he'd sent out 70 or 72 of them to go and heal the sick, cast out demons, clear the cleanse the lepers. They worked in the power of God before, but they hadn't been clothed, they hadn't been endued with the power of the Spirit. They had to wait for the day of Pentecost for that to arrive. And we are no different. We must operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, if we try to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit, all that will happen is we'll become disillusioned, burnt out, tired, worn down, depressed, because we are not designed to operate that way. We need the power of God. If we don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, the church will become a man-made organization doing stuff that men think is great in men's own power. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force his way in. In Hebrews 13, it says, "The God of peace equip you with every good thing to carry out his will and strengthen you, making you complete and perfect as you ought to be, accomplishing in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." See, God equips those whom he calls. If he's called you, he will equip you. And if we refuse his equipping, that means we can't fulfill his calling. We can try, but we're not going to succeed. And also, without the power of the Spirit, we just have insufficient power against the enemy. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." The power of the Spirit is brought about in our lives through his gifts. And this isn't a full list, but here's a few of them. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, kinds of healings, helps, administration, evangelist, pastor, teacher, speaking, rendering, service. Wow. Look at all of those. Wow, what a list. What a fantastic list. There are more. Your homework is to see if you can find any more, right? When I put these notes up on the website, we'll put these notes up on the website. There's also a list of verses that goes with them, because I'm not going to go through it, otherwise we'd be here for an hour. But all of these gifts require, they've got two things in common. They require the power of speech, and they require the necessity of listening to the Spirit. So I'm going to talk today about one of these gifts. It's the gift of tongues. It was the first gift that was manifest on the day of Pentecost. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It's a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw that on the day of Pentecost. It's a sign that we are believers. If you're not a believer, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you cannot receive the gift of tongues. It's a sign to non-believers. If you remember before Peter's sermon in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, all of these guys from all over the world heard the disciples speaking in their own languages, even though the disciples couldn't speak those languages. So they said, what is this? Are these guys drunk? No, this was the sign to non-believers that there's something real there. And it's temporary, because we don't need it when we're in heaven. It's for here, it's for the church age. It wasn't present in the Old Testament. It will not be present in heaven. It's for now. It's for now. I want to look at three aspects of this gift. And I'm listening through this, but the notes that I leave on the website, you can go through in detail if you wish to later on. When we pray in the Spirit, this is the first aspect I'm going to deal with, the three. Praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, Jude 20 says, we edify ourselves, but not others. If I read it, it says, "Beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." If you're feeling that your faith is weakening, if you're feeling that you need to be built up, then pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. If you do if your prayer life is giving lists to God, or saying, God, you could do it this way, you can sort this problem out, this is my solution, why don't you just do it this way? Maybe you should consider praying in the Spirit first. Why? Let's move on a little bit. When we pray in the Spirit, it bypasses our mind. And when I first read this verse, 1 Corinthians 14:14, it's Paul writes, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. Well, I thought, well, it's pretty rubbish then, isn't it? If my mind's not working. But then I realized, you see, we are spirit with a soul who lives in a body, that's our structure. And normally, we deal with our spirit through our mind, through renewing our mind. That's the normal way that we come about it. But when we pray in tongues, we're not using our mind. The Holy Spirit is directly controlling what we say. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit controls what we pray, what we say. So, if you've got a problem that's in your mind and you pray in tongues, it's bypassed. And this is a really important principle because this underlines every gift of the Spirit. Allowing the Spirit to control. Taking our mind out of the equation, because all we can do with our mind is stop this. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, the spirit of prophecy is subject to the spirit of the prophets, which means that we can stop it. We can stop the gift flowing. All we have to do is receive the gift of tongues. If we practice that, if we continue to pray in tongues like that, that builds up our experience, it builds up our skills, it builds up a reliance on the Holy Spirit, which is essential for the subsequent gifts. So what do you do with your mind then if you're praying in the Spirit? What do? You just switch off, you think about what you're going to have for tea. No, my suggestion would be, listen to what God is saying. Because often, if my experience is anything to go by, he will put something into your heart, into your mind, perhaps a person's name to pray for, perhaps a revelation or something. Mm-hmm. If you keep your mind stayed on him while you're praying in tongues, then he will give you other things. You stay at peace with him. And that's also another fundamental skill needed to move in the gifts of the Spirit. So that's the first aspect of the gifts of tongues. Okay, the second one is speaking in tongues. Before I move on to this, I should tell you, when I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was about 50 years ago, I know I don't look that old, but it was 50 years ago, the man who laid his hands on me and prayed for me said, say something. And I didn't have the words then. I didn't have the gift of tongues at that time. For me, it just came naturally during worship, during prayer, just in times of being intimate with God, then the tongues flowed as a natural outpouring from the gift, from being baptized in the Spirit. But now let's talk about speaking in tongues, which for my purposes today means giving a tongue in a public meeting, speaking out loud. And we often hear that here, don't we? So here are some of the rules about it. First of all, it's got to be done in love. It's not to be done in arrogance or anything else like that. And when we do this, we don't speak to men, we speak to God. In the same way that as we pray in tongues, we speak to God. Speaking in tongues is speaking to God. it edifies ourselves in the same way that praying in the Spirit edifies ourselves. So does speaking in tongues. It doesn't edify anybody else, because very few people, if anybody, understands what we're saying. And it's also not essential for everybody. Paul says, does everyone speak in tongues? No, it's not essential, but it's to be desired by all of us, because it's a stepping stone on to the greater gifts. And the gift of the Holy Spirit in terms of speaking in tongues is for the benefit of us all. So for me, it's about 10 years after I'd received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before I spoke in tongues in a public meeting, mainly because the church I was attending up until then didn't have that feeling. They didn't allow that. But here in CCF, guess what? I was encouraged to do that. And those things happen now, don't they? We see them happening. When you're speaking in a tongue in that way, when you're giving that public tongue, it's more important than ever to focus your mind on God, to listen to what he's saying, particularly to listen to when he says stop. Because the last thing you want to do is add your bit onto what the Holy Spirit has sent. And also, I think, when you are doing that, you know, bringing the public tongue in that way, God will put other things into your mind if you're focusing on him. Okay, the third one. Interpretation. Paul says in our meetings, when we have speaking in tongues, it must be done in an orderly way, and it must be interpreted. Why? Because it's prophecy, and that is the way the church is edified. So if you have the gift of speaking in tongues, but you don't have a gift of interpretation, if you're in a meeting and you feel you should be giving a tongue, ask the meeting leader if there is somebody there with a gift of interpretation. If you have the gift of interpretation, you can interpret your own tongue. It's absolutely fine. But it's more effective if somebody else does it. And the same applies to interpretation. If you are interpreting a tongue, keep on listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, because your mind, when you're interpreting, your mind is not operating. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Concentrate your mind on him, because he'll tell you when to stop, and he'll stop you adding your bits on. There has been in the past some confusion between interpretation and translation. Interpretation is not translation. A few years ago, Jenny gave a tongue, and somebody interpreted it. And later in the meeting, Linda Wong, who was from Borneo, spoke Bahasa Malay as her mother tongue, came to the front and said, "Jenny, do you know how to speak Malay?" "Jenny, do you know how to speak Malay?" "No, I don't think I do." "But you have to." Because she said, "What you said was in my mother tongue, and you were extolling the greatness of God. You were worshipping God, you were praising him." So that demonstrates the difference between translation and interpretation. So we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. What has Jesus called us to do? Ian referred to this in his reading. He's called us to proclaim the good news. Might be able to do that without the power of the Spirit for a while. He's called us to baptize believers. Let me move on, please, guys. He's told us to teach Jesus' commands. He's told us to disciple the nations. This is where it starts to get more demanding, doesn't it? Maybe the first three you could do on your own. Maybe you could do it for a while and then grind to a halt. Discipling? I don't know about that. Then he says, cast out demons. Okay, we're not going to do that on our own, are we? Can you see that all of the commissions that Jesus has given us, next one, please, require the power of the Holy Spirit? Next one, please. He always said, cleanse the lepers, and finally, raise the dead. We have the power of the Holy Spirit through his gifts. Are we using that power? Are we allowing his power to flow through us? We've had some pictures, haven't we, about Julia gave a picture about receiving gifts. I gave a couple of similar ones about spiritual gifts that you weren't using or spirit or receiving from the Spirit. Have we done that? Are we doing that? Are we as keen on the living the Christian life in the power of God as we were when we first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Put my hand up. No. No. God's calling us back to our first love. God's calling us back to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit if you haven't received it, to renew it if you have received it, and to refresh your spiritual gifts. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say matters. We have his authority and we have his power. I ask Ben to come and just play. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, there will be people over here by the cross who will pray with you. Or you can raise your hand, who will come and pray with you. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you're not operating in it anymore, you've kind of gone off it, spend some time as Ben leads us in some quiet worship, just to repent and go back. If you've been trying in your own strength, just repent, you can go back to the power of God. And if you haven't received the gift of tongues, just as we worship, allow the Spirit to flow through you. And if strange words come across your lips, don't be scared. That's just him working. I'm going to move into a time of quiet worship. I'm going to close the meeting before we do that. But please just enter into the worship. Please come for prayer. And allow the Holy Spirit, who is here, to speak to your heart, to speak into your innermost being, to guide you into where you need to repent and where you need to be looking for him. Father God, we thank you so much for meeting with us. Holy Spirit, we praise you. We give you your rightful place. And we ask you to flow amongst us as we worship. In Jesus' name.